I'm a dude, and I'm inviting you to join me on a podcast about brews.
Does that include stouts?
Yes. Yes, of course it includes stouts. Like I was saying, join us every Saturday on the journey
Wait a minute. Do you guys do anything about like IPAs?
Yes.
Like that?
Yes, we do IPAs.
Okay.
Yes. Anyway, join us on the Journey into Comics Network for Brews with Dudes.
Do you care if I bring some Zima on?
Yes, I care if you bring Zima. Zima doesn't count. Zima's Dr. Dongo. Anyway, join us every Saturday for a podcast that delves into the craft brew world.
The following is a Journey into Comics.
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 Network.
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 Production.
Production.
Yes, it all started out as a mild curiosity in the junkyard. Now it's turned out to be quite a great spirit of adventure.
People assume that time is a strict progression of cause to effect, but actually, from a non-linear, non-subjective viewpoint, it's more like a big ball of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff.
You're calling the butler. I'm very partial to tea and muffins.
What's wrong with being childish? I like being childish.
Before I go, I just want to tell you, you are fantastic.
Never trust a hug. It's just a way to hide your face.
That's the exciting thing. Nobody in the universe can do what we're doing.
Why are you pointing your screwdrivers like that? They're scientific instruments, not water pistols.
Gallifrey! Yes, this must be where I live.
Thinking about you clapping at the cats when you get pissed.
Clapping at the football game.
Clapping at the cats.
So goddamn loud. Okay.
Oh, God.
Oh, this is funny as hell.
Fucking Nate.
Got me.
All right. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
All right. What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to episode 9 of Gallif Radio. I am your host, Nate. Today, joining me, as always, joined by my companions, Sarah and Veronica. How's it going?
Pretty good. How's it going, Nate?
Good. I already broke you, like, not even seconds into the podcast.
It's been a long day.
It has been a long day. How are you?
I'm good. I'm tired. I worked today. I had a lot of shit I had to do. And we watched some unfortunate Doctor Who.
I think that's subjective.
Here we go. We have a lot to talk about on this episode of Gallif Radio. Mm. We had, you know, had to catch up on a lot of the
current
season of Gallif or Doctor Who, and we have some thoughts about it.
Yeah.
Sarah has some thoughts in particular about some things.
How's it going, Sarah? Welcome to the show.
How's it going, Sarah?
I'm here.
So let's just get right into this. Like you said, V, we were a couple episodes behind. So we've been playing catch up. We watched several episodes in a row a couple days ago. Mm-hmm. That was like last week, probably.
Yeah, we watched them last week because I'm having a really hard time remembering any of it.
It's okay, because once I start talking about them, I have all the episodes pulled up with details and stuff I can start talking about.
Okay.
Kind of help fill you guys in, and you'll remember the stories as they go. Because, you know, one thing I do want to quickly mention, all the stories this season have kind of been quick, forgettable episodes.
Yeah.
Like, and it's weird because I think I say that every time there's a new Doctor. I mean, ever since we got the 11th Doctor on, anytime we've had the transition that first season, I'm always like, God, this is a stinker. It's a clunker. It doesn't work. And then we go back and watch like Capaldi's first season, and you know, it's actually not that bad on my second watch.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that all happened down the road with this season. But as of right now, these are clunky, forgettable episodes.
As of right now, this is a different show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that... Quickly, do you think that, like, the payoff of saying, we should be able to watch this series, 11, and talk about it on our podcast without it affecting the other Who you haven't yet finished? Do you feel pretty consistent with that? Like, it hasn't disrupted or spoiled anything in Capaldi?
Not at all.
Because it doesn't even touch on it.
It doesn't touch on very much of anything related to Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Except a couple one-liners here and there about her past lives. But, yeah, I mean, there's been no reoccurring villains from the previous seasons. You know, no Daleks, no Cybermen, no nonsense like that.
Some brief mentions
of totally different show.
Yeah, totally. So let's just, Zara, you have something to say?
Well, I haven't said anything. Hi.
Hi. Welcome to the conversation. Yeah. What do you think, Sarah?
Oh, I just have, there's one word for something that's missing.
Okay.
And it's continuity.
Oh, great word.
There's no continuity in this season, and that's what's bugging. I mean, I could sit here and just start talking about all of the issues.
I mean,
I hate being so complainy about it. It's just bringing it out in me.
I think
that, you know,
you're disappointed.
I am very disappointed because, and I'm trying to control my volume. Yes, I'm trying to do this.
Appreciate you. But, you're doing great.
I'm very disappointed with the fact that you're right. It is forgettable. They're just one-offs. Mm-hmm. There's no, as I said, no continuity between episodes except for one thing that I am noticing very strongly. And it's all of these little emotional bonds that they're forcing upon us. I don't know why, because in the past, I have cared a great deal for every companion in one way, shape, or form.
Even
like,
Martha.
Huh? Even Martha. You know, I was... I liked Martha.
Team Martha.
I was Champion Team Martha. For you sure. Know, people hated on her really bad, and it was. I
She's
saw
the
through
only
it.
Fucking one that stood
I know
up to him.
Why they hated on Martha, and it was because the Doctor hated on Martha, and everybody is right. on Team Doctor.
That's right,
and that's the problem.
Because he was all but hurt about Rose.
Yeah, and he was a big bully, and that was not right. Anyways, Martha got the raw end of the deal, I think, she as a companion anyways. She was a good companion.
She ended up doing her own thing.
Yeah, yeah. But now back to this. So I don't know what my problem is, but I cannot connect to these companions this season. Like, and but all of this, the stuff, and yes, the music too, this whole season is a whole one giant long, and I'm gritting my teeth. Like, it's just one tiny violin. This whole season,
yeah, it's
sad,
all fucking
tiny
sob story after sob
exactly.
story.
Exactly. I do not need a soap opera, y'all. That's what soap operas are for.
Yeah.
That's the only, as I said,
we got
continuity
Netflix for that.
Yeah, that is the only continuity that is even happening at all. But they're claiming, oh, this is just one-offs. It's just that. But that's the only thing they're forcing in there is all of this. I mean, like I said, from what, like, not even 10 minutes into the episode, and we're already getting, like, this
emotional,
you know,
sob story speeches.
Somebody's, my mom's dead, and this person. And then, like, they just had to bring, they had to bring back the, what's her face? Forgot her name again.
Oh,
Nan.
Yeah. That lady that we had for what, like one episode, and we're supposed to be so connected that it draws through the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you're giving us?
I feel like they're focusing a lot on character development as opposed to any kind of plot. Like,
right.
There's no overarching theme. There's no big bad per se. There's no Easter eggs to look for
Nothing drawing the series to a conclusion. Like,
right. There's nothing pulling it or moving it forward. They're just meandering through one-off episode after one-off episode. And next week is the finale.
Like, spoilers. Next week is the finale. Spoilers.
Spoilers.
Like, by the time we're done talking about this, like, by the time this airs in 2 days... Actually, it will be the finale of Doctor Who. So the 9th of December.
And this is what they gave us.
And it doesn't even feel like we should be at the end of the fucking thing. Like, it feels like it hasn't even picked up yet.
It feels like it's still in Act 1 where they're still all just talking about how they're new friends.
I will say, I think we are in the minority, and maybe we're the smart fan and that's what's affecting us. But if you go on the Rotten Tomato website and look at the aggregate scores for these episodes, they do not link up with our disdain for them.
What the hell? They were like high in the 90s on Rotten 96 Tomatoes. And
plus the first one.
Are people just afraid to critique this?
Maybe Jodie Whittaker being there and in the current era we're in, no offense to Jodie, no offense to the movement.
Because I like her.
She's great, absolutely. I think these stories aren't serving her well, and we've said that before on this show.
She's the really the only good thing about this series now.
But I think,
in my opinion,
people
is her.
Are afraid to critique it harshly because they don't want people to go.
Well, it's only because she's a woman.
Exactly,
right.
And that's
maybe who knows.
I'm not sure, but I'm gonna.
Maybe people just really like it, and we're just in the minority here. I don't know.
Yeah, we might be.
Because I really wanted to like it.
Me too.
I was rooting for it, guys.
Same.
I still kind of am. Yeah. I still am, but it's just like every time we go to watch it, it's like, I don't really feel like watching it right now.
Let me ask you a scenario.
Yeah.
Okay, let me give you guys a scenario, put you through. We get to next Sunday, okay? We watch the season finale, and somehow, some way. Oh my God, I already see it. You guys, can I do it? Can I? Okay, so the next episode, they tease that there are 9 distress signals that they answer all at the same time on this planet. Why is the number 9 significant, might you ask? Because there were 9 episodes this season, 9 things that seem unconnected that will connect in the final episode. They're going to weave it into one massive story, and we're going to have some sort of crazy reveal, I bet you, that's going to make the whole season pay off massive.
Well, that would be nice if that happens.
I can't even believe I didn't think about that when I was reading about this season finale episode that's coming up. I'll read you this.
I hope it's something dumb. Like a hot dog monster. I don't know. Something random.
Hot dog monster.
You've been watching a lot of Classic Who lately.
I have been watching way too much of that.
What's your current favorite Classic Who doctor at the moment?
Ooh,
what
right
have you
now?
Been watching?
I've been trying to get more into like what's his like the 6th and 7th Doctor seasons. I don't know though. I always end up
watching John Pertwee.
I know he's my favorite.
And Peter Troughton.
I've already like watched them all, you know. So it's like I'm trying to find some new ones. I mean, there are some gems. Man, Tegan's got some outfits.
Man, and
some haircut.
The fashion of Classic Who. We need to do a little.
Oh, it's a wonderful
expose on that.
Wonderful fashion.
Let me real quick fill you guys in on something. Back to what I was saying a minute ago. The Battle of Ranskor Av Kalos is the name of the finale, which I feel like Ranskor Av Kalos is probably some crazy anagram for another word or some crazy reveal that'll mean something bigger. But here's the synopsis. It says, on the planet Ranskor Av Kalos lies the remains of a brutal battlefield. But as the Dr. Graham, Yaz, and Ryan answer 9 separate distress calls, they discover the planet holds far more secrets. Come on. 9 episodes, 9 distress calls. It's the finale. Everybody's saying how there's no continuity and no flow. Maybe this is their big fuck you at the end. I mean, I hate to say it like that. Maybe they cleverly tie everything in together and make us eat our words.
Well, I hope so.
Me too, because I'm rooting for it. Genuinely, I keep saying that the whole time. I'm rooting for this show. Every episode, we give it a chance. And, you know, I mean, I said this too also. An episode, we really kind of said some decent things about the Saranga conundrum with the Pating. It got the lowest scores on Rotten Tomatoes, you know?
Yeah, so we must be in the minority in our opinion.
I don't know.
But back to it, I do want to say that it would be awesome to do a whole episode on the fashion of Doctor Who. Like, throughout all the different eras, if you think about all the different things they've done, and like, you know, the history of Doctor Who's, I've said it before on the show, but like, there is a costume from the 10th Planet that ends up in Star Wars. Bosk wears it.
Mm.
Did you know that?
Mm-mm.
It's the actual costume from Doctor Who, the 10th Planet, a second Doctor story that ends up in Empire Strikes Back.
That's dope. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Wicked.
Well, we can put that up on Facebook on our Gallif Radio page.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm gonna
do it.
I'll start. I'll read this first one to you guys, or if you guys want me to pass the thing around, we can like each read a plot for one of these episodes. I have them all pulled up.
Oh, we're talking about the episodes that we just recently binge watched.
Yeah, just a little bit. I just want to like brief the plot. We don't have to like go through a whole crazy.
Yeah, I don't
want to.
Yeah,
summary. So I'll do the first one. The first plot summary.
Go ahead.
Okay. So we watched The Demons of the Punjab. Do you guys remember this episode?
No.
Yaz time travels back in time to find her grandma.
Okay.
So this is the full plot written per Wikipedia. So thank you, Wikipedia. While celebrating the birthday of her grandmother, Umbreen, Yaz, receives a broken watch from her. Curious over its origin, Yasmin convinces a hesitant doctor to take her and the others to Punjab, August 1947, where the watch was broken. Upon arriving, Yaz learns that the watch's previous owner was a Hindu man named Prem, whom a younger Umbreen intends to marry despite Yasmin's family having Muslim roots. The doctor notes that the group have arrived on the 14th of August, the day before the partition of India. She advises her friends to rush to the wedding ceremony to ensure that they and the family are not caught in the partitioning. But matters become complicated when the group sees two aliens that the doctor had a vision of during a brief head pain. Remember the watcher guys?
I remember.
Over the body of the wedding's overseer, the big chunky dude in the forest. The group are joined by Prem, who saw the aliens around the time of his older brother's death during a military service in World War II. As the doctor assumes the aliens killed Botki and eventually recognizes them as members of the Thrinjarian.
Who the fuck
I don't
cares?
Know. Well, we do. B, it's our podcast. You can't say that.
No,
come
I'm
on.
Just kidding.
Jesus Christ, and Netley. While finding their ship and stealing a capsule from him, but the doctor learns that they are actually the last of their kind, these two. The capsule holding what remains of their destroyed planet and having dedicated themselves to commemorate those who die alone. After revealing that Prem will become a casualty of the partitioning they intend to witness, they agree to show the doctor a recording of Botki's death. The footage reveals Botki was murdered by Prem's younger brother, Manish, who opposes the wedding. Returning to the others and convinced by Yaz to see the event through, the doctor oversees the marriage ceremony with a group witnessing the watch being accidentally broken as Umbreen cherishes its significance. When the doctor later accosts Manish for the murder, he reveals to have contacted a small group of armed Hindu nationalists to attack the wedding reception. As Umbreen and her mother escape the doctor's group, Prem remains behind to reason with Manish and dies when the nationalists shoot him while the aliens observe. Back in the present, Yaz's grandmother comments on her granddaughter's new henna. That's it. That was the...
Yeah, that was something.
So what did you guys think about this episode?
It was hard to care about anybody in it.
Mm. Yeah, do you think that...
Because you, as an audience member, you know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a bummer of an episode, and it's just like a more emotional pandering.
Mm-hmm.
I think with the amount of emotion they tried to put in this season, it's easy to disconnect when they start to do it so often. You can just shut it off and go, okay, well, another one bites the dust. Whoop.
There hasn't been any fun, like, adventure episodes. Every episode focuses on a different companion's, like, emotional baggage. Like, that one was Yaz's emotional baggage episode. This past episode we just watched was Graham's emotional baggage episode.
Absolutely.
Where he had to see Nan, you know, in this alternate universe, the living conscious universe or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, every episode... is like that, where it focuses on the characters, I guess. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just not my show.
Yeah.
It's not the same, Doctor Who. It's
not the same.
It's like, it's like the
and
look.
I wanted to like it.
What's that?
Yeah.
Barely flavored water your mom drinks. What's that called? What's that called?
Barely flavored water.
Yeah, it's in the little can.
La Croix?
La Croix.
Okay, so these episodes are like the La Croix of sci-fi, because they're just, they're a little bit of sci-fi, but really it's drama, heavy drama. They're trying to be drama. Oh, you're traveling in time, but we can pretty much make you easily forget that you've traveled in time because the setting is in such a spot that it doesn't seem like time is that different. You know, like that was one thing I took away from this episode. I don't keep during the episode. I didn't remember often that it was set in the 40s. I was just like, oh, this is just happening. I was like, oh, wait, that's her fucking grandma, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wait, no, mm-hmm. has to happen way before. So,
yeah, I wasn't really super blown away with any of the last couple of episodes we watched. What was the next one?
Well, I was going to quickly say that the Demons of Punjab on the Rotten Tomatoes tomato meter got a 96%.
What?
Yeah.
What are y'all doing out there?
A couple quick. I'll just read a couple one-line reviews from the Tomatoer. It says, even though we saw it coming, I say saw it coming. The demons bluntly spelled it out for us. Prem's death hit hard. Meh. What? Because, you know, he gets shot at the end of the episode. An episode that raises fascinating questions about human nature and the legacy of Western imperialism. Okay, that's kind of an interesting like way to look at it, I guess. Whovians yet again learn that the doctor cannot save everyone. Someone says at times the script seemed to be straining for contemporary relevance. At others, it strained and wheezed with exposition. However, there was also plenty to like. Thoughts on those first four reviews? As opposed to how we feel.
Hashtag not my show.
Hashtag not my show, I think, is going to be the episode title.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag
like,
not my show.
Not a bad show. It's just not my show. I don't know what happened.
Okay.
Like, I mean, I know what happened, but I hate to even critique it so harshly. You know?
It's a totally different beast, man.
Now,
yeah.
Up next in the three-pack of the four, we've actually watched four total if you include tonight's episode. We watched Kerblam. Do you want to read that one?
No.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Okay, I'll read it.
Okay, sure.
I just didn't want to read this whole thing because, like, I wasn't super into this episode either.
Well, it's just a general synopsis, so we don't have to, like, try to fill it in and talk long-winded about it. We can do it concisely. That's okay. Why I pulled them up.
I know. The plot. The Doctor and her companions travel to Kerblam, a galaxy-wide online shopping service consisting of automated warehouses and mostly robotic workforce known as teammates. Oh, yeah, this one. They were in that fucking space factory with a bunch of robots.
Yes.
That kind of reminded me of Autons from like the 60s, but not really.
Also kind of had like the...
Like an Auton and a Cyberman vibe.
Robots of Death too a little bit. You haven't seen those yet. That's a classic Who villain. Mm. Fourth Doctor story. Really good. But yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, under the guise of being new employees, the group attempt to find out who sent them a delivery with a call for help. They quickly learn from their new colleagues, Dan Cooper, the company's poster boy, Kira Arlo, a member of the dispatch team, and Charlie Duffy, a maintenance worker who loves Kira. The staff have been vanishing in recent months, and that the company employs a heavy work culture of productivity. When Dan disappears while finding an order, the doctor suspects something is wrong with the company's artificial intelligence and automated workforce. Both human resource managers, Judy Maddox. Oh, didn't you say she reminded you of, what's her name? Ruth Jones or something.
Hmm?
What was the lady who was, she was the prime minister or something.
Harriet Jones.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She had that kind of vibe.
Yeah, she did. Anyway. Sorry, I couldn't think of her name for a second. Anyway. Both human resource managers, Judy Maddox and Jarvis Slade, quickly deny involvement when confronted about the disappearances. When Kira is abducted, the doctor tracks her to the completely automated packaging and delivery floor, leading the group to gain access below. After finding the remains of the missing workforce and an army of teammates holding packages, the doctor uses an early model of teammate to speak with Kerblam's AI. She quickly learns it's called for her help directly after suspecting something was wrong with its workforce. When Yaz, Ryan, and Charlie reveal that they had witnessed Kira die when playing with the bubble wrap, the doctor discovers someone had weaponized the material, intending it to be used upon Kerblam's customers. Charlie quickly admits to being the culprit. Oh, yeah. Charlie, the little maintenance dude. Mm-hmm. Charlie quickly admits to being the culprit, explaining that Kira's death was not part of his plans. He reveals his motive was to prevent rampant automation, making human workforces redundant. Gaining access to the company, Charlie used the missing staff as test subjects for his weaponized bubble wrap. He intended to use it upon the company's customers, knowing blame for the sudden deaths would be placed upon automation and lack of human diligence. Realizing the company's AI killed Kira to make Charlie understand the severity of his actions, the doctor reprograms the teammates to deliver to themselves and pop the bubble wrap. While the others leave, Charlie remains and perishes in the floor's destruction. In the wake of the incident, Maddox and Slade undertake to rebuild Kerblam with a mostly human workforce.
Awesome. Thank you for reading that.
No problem.
I liked this episode. I really did. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
This one wasn't that bad. No, this one wasn't a bad episode.
It didn't really have a lot of sob story to it either.
No, it was more because it was in space. It was not on Earth. All of the Earth-based episodes have been very emotionally charged.
Yeah, I agree with that. Mm-hmm. I like the robot, the automated robots. Those are cool and have like a fun... Anytime they introduce a fun little interesting robot, it's cool. I love the little the first prototype robot that she hacks that's in the museum, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I like it was cute. I don't know. That's all I can think about. It was just cute.
Okay. I was surprised that they blew up Kira.
Oh, yeah, they just killed that girl. Bam.
Yeah.
Kerblam, actually.
Kerblam. But
that was great. Not my show. 92% on the tomato meter.
Yeah.
For this one.
Not bad. That's, not bad.
I mean, this was a fun episode. It definitely makes you feel more Doctor Who.
I love Jodie Whittaker and her detective skills on the show.
For sure.
That's fun.
For sure. Okay.
That's about all the good things I can say about that.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
The next one, Sarah, do you want to tackle the next one's plot? It's actually the smallest one of the three. But it's The Witchfinders.
Oh, this fucking episode.
With King James II.
And we had just been watching The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina on Netflix.
Ooh, I love that.
I know. We're currently obsessed with that show. That one's really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then we watched this show, The Witchfinder, whatever. And we were just like, this isn't Sabrina.
Mm-hmm. Not my Sabrina.
Not my show.
Okay. The Doctor and her companions end up in 1612 Lancashire near Pendle Hill. They reach a nearby village to find an old woman accused of witchcraft being dunked, and the Doctor tries to save her but fails. She attempts to prevent future trials by claiming herself as a witchfinder general to the local landlord, Becca Savage, only for the sudden appearance of King James I to complicate matters, as he deems her as Graham's assistant. Meanwhile, Yasmin finds the old woman being buried by her granddaughter, Willa Twiston, and saves her from a tendril made of mud. Upon hearing of this, and that Savage is Willa's cousin, the Doctor realizes the cause of the witch hunt is of alien origin, as the recent victims are being reanimated by the alien entity. While her companions follow the reanimated corpses, the Doctor ends up being accused of witchcraft while confronting Savage over her hiding something. The Doctor attempts to reason with James before she is dunked, escaping her bonds at the last second while noting how Savage could not bear touching a tree used to dunk her. Once more confronted by the Doctor as the corpses arrive, Savage reveals that she was infected by the alien entity while chopping down the tree on the hill. Savage assumed it to be Devil Tree. Devil Tree? That's what that says.
Sure. Savage
assumed it to be Devil Tree and sought to cure it through witch trials, accusing old Mother Twiston as she knew of the infliction. The alien entity soon takes over Savage's body, revealing herself as queen of the war criminal race known as the Morax.
Out of fucking nowhere.
The tree face lady.
I remember. The doctor discovers that Savage inadvertently damaged an alien prison system disguised as a tree.
Who knew?
And designed to imprison the Morax within. Learning the Morax intend to have their king possess James before conquering Earth, the Doctor uses parts of the tree.
I know, she can't do it with a straight face.
The Doctor uses parts of the tree to save James and reactivate the jail. While the other Morax are forced out of their host's bodies, the Queen refuses to leave Savage's body as James kills them both. The following day, James declares to the Doctor that all records of the events will be erased, and he and Willow will watch in surprise as the group leave the TARDIS, or leave in the TARDIS.
And that was the episode. It just ends, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was a weird... Like, and I mean, I say that lovingly, because when you use the word weird to describe Doctor Who, it's like...
That's subjective.
That's severe, because weird in the Doctor Who universe is like, whew, really weird.
Like, what the fuck y'all doing?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, by all accounts, witchcraft and aliens and such, we should have liked that.
Yeah.
We really should have liked
it. I was rooting for
it. We really should have liked that episode more.
We were on the Sabrina train, you know?
Yeah.
90.
We were ready for it. It was time.
90. We love Monty Python and the Holy Grail. I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. They were dunking witches.
Yeah.
I mean.
95% on Rotten Tomatoes. They gave it 95%. An entertaining twist, though this is one of the few episodes in Doctor Who Season 11 to really feature a traditional monster of the week. The witch hunt was scary, but the witch finders stayed ridiculous. Malevolent, yes, but ridiculously so. A shame, because until the Morax appeared in the final act, this had been an eerily atmospheric episode. With some grins, look of awe, and a handful of words of confusion, it's brilliant to finally see some of the new characters watch Team TARDIS leave the events of the episode. Okay. So those are some top reviews for that episode. It Takes You Away is too new. They don't technically have the plot up, but I can kind of quick brief it, because essentially the Doctor and the Team TARDIS end up in Norway, and there's this girl in a cabin that's all boarded up, and she says that there's a monster outside, and that also her father is missing, and that they go looking and they find a mirror, and the mirror goes to another dimension.
It's a portal.
It's a portal, and then like they end up in this other dimension where... It's a
portal of anti-zone.
Yeah, and anti-zone.
It's the cushion between our universe, our reality, and a living conscious universe that's separate, that can never join our reality, but wants to join our reality.
And apparently has goblins that will only trade. And also...
That's in the anti-zone, though.
In the anti-zone, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, go on.
And then, like... did we talk about the moths yet?
No.
There's, like, the flesh-eating moths that are in the anti-zone. And then they end up going into the other side, and the other side has...
Is the conscious universe that is luring people.
Correct.
And trying to trap them there just because they're lonely and need a friend.
And they want to connect with... It's very Omega. Yeah. It is kind of very Omega. Yeah, like, it's forever alone.
Because, long story short, the Doctor ends up, you know, saying she'll try and stay, you know.
Well, hold
but then
on.
She, like, convinces...
You gotta give them the key part of the episode. You're just,
you really don't have to.
You're just so...
Okay, go ahead.
...jumpy. You have to bring up the fact that the other universe is using these people's, like, deceased loved ones as lure. Mm-hmm. And it's an actual representation of this person. That's how Grace, Nan, gets brought back. That's how Graham has to deal... Why Graham has to deal with talking to her again, and like the whole letting her go a second time. And that's where Hannah's father is gone, because her mother's alive in this pocket universe. Alive. But really, they're the ones that are all in control, trying to take over. And it's a choose-your-world thing. It was surreal. It was weird.
I don't think I liked it.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't have tomato meter yet, because it was too fresh for...
Did you like it, Sarah?
The Merkins.
I liked the idea of it.
Okay.
I liked, good in theory, and then I didn't like how it was executed. I mean, because that idea of having some other conscious sort of pocket universe thing luring people is kind of okay. All right. And then you got the cushion thing. I mean, that's in, it's very Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. It's a very Doctor Who thing. Mm-hmm. But I didn't like that they had to inject it with dead relatives and make it this yet Canon. Again. Yet again, the only thread that we're getting that, as Nate is hopefully projecting, is going to all come together at the end into something grandiose. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I don't know. It could have been cooler, I guess is my point.
It was very emotionally charged because not only did you have the storyline of Graham having to cope with being reunited with fake Nan, but you also had to deal with the fact that they were shoving it down your throat that there's this disabled child, little girl.
She's blind.
Mm-hmm.
She also talks kind of funny.
She's got some stuff going on with her, and she's just left in her house alone for, like, what, 4 days or something?
Yes.
And is that why they were, like, called to, like, go there? Did they just think something was wrong in that house that they just randomly saw in Norway?
Ryan, they end up in Norway, and they're standing looking just at the mountains. They're like, oh, it's so pretty. It's 2018. Everything's so modern stuff.
Three chimneys or something.
And then there was no fire coming from the chimney, or no smoke coming from the chimney, and they thought in the middle of winter there should be fire coming from that house if there were people in there, if something was not wrong.
So they just went there being nosy, check it out.
And then she little B&E from
breaking
the doctor
and entering it.
Yeah, I wonder how many times she would get arrested for B&E.
Probably a lot. But anyway, so like you had to deal with the fact that there's this other storyline because the father didn't disappear. He's actually a fucking scumbag.
Yeah.
And left his daughter to go into the pocket universe because the pocket universe lured him in with the facade of his dead wife. And he was afraid that if he left, he wouldn't be able to get back and find her. So he just decides to leave his fucking blind daughter alone.
No, she'll be fine. I blockaded her in.
Yeah, I was going to say, he even admits how scumbag he is by saying, there's food in the kitchen,
but
she'll be fine.
But it gets worse. It's not just the fact that he left her and didn't come back. It's not just the fact that he left her to fend for herself, you know.
As a blind
it's
person.
It's also the fact that he kept her boarded up inside the house and had speakers playing monster
told
sounds.
Told her there was made up a fake
yard.
Monster.
Scaring her to stay inside and never come out and get lost in the woods or run away or whatever. Like, what a piece of shit.
Yeah. And then
he
gets
wearing,
a happy
like, a fucking
ending.
Slayer t-shirt and he's like all punk rock and it's like, you're a scumbag, dude.
Yeah.
Typical for a Slayer fan. Typical.
Aw, oh, rude.
Shots fired.
I'm a Metallica fan first, so, you know.
Anyway,
still though, yeah, and then he gets rewarded at the end. It gets a happy ending, you know.
Yeah, well, not really,
though,
his wife's still dead.
Because ultimately he gets.
And he had to.
I don't feel bad for him.
No,
live through the fact that he had to lose her again because she wasn't even fucking real.
I do say
but
I
he
feel
did not
bad
die.
For. I do feel bad for Graham in this one though because he has like he even is resistant at the very beginning. Like you're not.
He's
her.
Like, don't do this to me.
Like, we don't need to go through this song and dance again.
Like
there's
he,
no reason.
He already knew that it wasn't real, and he just, like, got sucked into the idea that it was her.
And then
it
was
that
it obviously
could be her.
Not her.
Yeah, I didn't want to go on that journey.
Yeah,
but
I didn't want to
again,
go on that journey either. I mean,
ultimately, this episode does the one thing that it needs to do for these character story arcs, and it ties Graham and Ryan together. Ryan finally calling Graham granddad. And that's a big thing because you take it back all the way back to the woman who fell to Earth.
Making the, like, I give a shit face.
but you have to understand they've been creating this, like, subversive resistance between Ryan accepting that. And here we are, 9 episodes deep, and they do give you that. You have to give them a little bit of fucking credit for creating a
Here's my question. Could they also have done this while going golfing together? And not riding on the TARDIS.
No.
This story.
That's not true at
this,
all.
Somebody.
No fucking way.
Oh, you're
no,
not
no,
my granddad.
I'm defending this.
I was a, and
no.
then all of a sudden.
Uh-uh. not on this one. I'm defending this one time because this is the one thing I actually like about this season, and I can't let you poo-poo all over it, okay?
Do you feel what I'm saying?
Listen to me. No, you're wrong, because they couldn't have just went golfing. There's a lot of fucked up things. Think about seeing someone you really love deceased and how Ryan has to console Graham after that.
This is the argument that the writers who wrote this stuff are trying to make to the naysayers and the people who are watching it and not enjoying it. They are trying to prove what Nate is trying to prove, which ultimately comes down to how much do you care?
Yeah, and it's like this. I also think about it like this. It's because it's the first time we're seeing Jody as the doctor. I guarantee you, again, if they orchestrate a flawless story to wrap up season 11, and then we get that New Year's episode, and then we do our season finale after our episode 11, and we are left in bafflement of how good it ends up being, I guarantee you that after we watch the season finale, we're going to go, well, now we have to watch the whole series again to catch everything that we missed. Because there were so many clever things that we missed.
I don't think I'm going to want to do that.
I'm going to roll the dice and say that that's what's going to happen, though.
I'm going to roll the dice and say it's not.
Heard it here first.
Okay. We'll see what happens. I hope I'm wrong.
Okay.
Let's just say that.
I do have some other Doctor Who news I want to bring to you guys. There's a picture that's debuted of Jodie for the New Year's episode. Do you guys want to see it?
Okay.
Okay. You ready? 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 Here's the reveal. Here's the grand reveal.
Oh, she Jody. Has a little scarf. A little Doctor Who scarf.
A little callback to Tom Baker, possibly.
Oh, that makes me happy. Okay, you've appeased me now.
Okay, see?
I like the scarf.
You guys talk about the fashion show. There it is. She's holding her Sonic, whatever you call that thing.
That she uses way too much.
She really does. In weird ways, too.
Yeah, that's been a kind of a...
It's almost like a crux they've used. It's like this. It's like, what's this creature? Oh, it's that. What's this door? Oh, it's that. How do you unlock this thing? Oh, it's that. Oh, how do you make toast? Oh, it does that. Like, it does everything, you know?
Right.
And it's like, slow your roll. It's only a sonic device. It should be able to unlock things.
That's why I like John Pertwee, man.
Put up a cabinet or two.
He didn't have, like...
Oh, he just had his kung fu moves.
Yeah, he had his kung fu and his Bessie.
And his fucking lace car. Cravat.
Yeah.
Hell
his fucking
yeah.
capes.
Yeah, man, he was a badass.
He was.
More news.
No, you go first.
No, you go first.
No, you go first.
No, you go first.
I don't remember Ladies what I was first. Say.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Now I am.
Okay. Billy Piper's returning as Rose.
What? Did you just spoil something?
No.
What?
Rose Tyler is played by Billy Piper, is returning for a new Doctor Who audio spinoff, and she's bringing along her family and friends. So Rose Tyler, the Dimension Canon, is a new audio series made by Big Finish Production with association with BBC Studios, following Rose through the dying parallel world, also starring Camille Cordry as Jackie, Sean Dingwall as Pete, somebody named Mark Benton as an alien investigator, Clive Finch, and Ellie Garnett as Carol Finch. So a story.
That is far less exciting than you initially led me to believe. Fuck you for that, by the way. But I do like the idea of an audio story, and I love Billy Piper as Rose, and I love Jackie Tyler, and I would love to hear them again.
Come on, Sean Dingwall, it's Pete Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
Pete Tyler's cool. And it's cool to also say that the thing is called the Dimension Canon, and it's talking about the dying parallel world she's trapped in with the 10th Doctor.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Like, I mean, we are a
Do you think
podcast,
someday
so.
They will ever bring that world back?
You know, maybe. It would be interesting
with
to have,
new
like...
Doctor.
No, because you know what you do? Because 10 is human, so he can't regenerate. He only has one heart. Billy as Rose is there as well. Okay. If you're going to do a story, do it as her and he's dying old because David Tennant at that point when you do the story is also older. Old.
Well, he wouldn't be that much older. Well, no, I don't want her to be old.
Well, I'm talking like 10 years. You make up him up a little bit, you know? What? Give it some time. What?
No, I think...
Because he's going to age because he's not... He's not a Time Lord, you guys. He's going to age like a normal human.
We're aware of that.
So.
Right, but I'm not saying I want to see him as an old doctor.
Not super old. He's just older, and they're deeper in their journey. Well, like they.
Well, yeah. Exactly. They're already older than when we last saw them.
Fair point.
So can they just be
now?
This is, you're ruining it. You're ruining my fucking fantasy. All I wanted to say was, wouldn't it be cool if someday they came back?
Yes.
Yeah.
I would love that.
So why are you shitting on it?
I'm not.
Okay, great.
I was agreeing. I was just saying, if I was doing that, mm-hmm. I would tell the story from the perspective of Tennant being an older dude. Like,
oh, well, this is older. My fantasy. So no, I wouldn't do that. Okay, I would have it be, you know, then probably the next season.
Would it be like, okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Because this
like,
audio drama thing is coming on, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
I want to find out about that. I want to hear that story. And that sounds fun.
I mean, it's possible with, you know, jumping into a little bit of journey into comics news here that's a little over a week old at this point, but with Daredevil being canceled, Iron Fist being canceled, Luke Cage being canceled, it only makes sense that Jessica Jones will be canceled.
You think so?
Punisher will be canceled. Oh, yeah, it's happening. Why? Because they're all going to move over to DC or over to Disney Plus.
So that's
an eventual thing that they're probably long-term planning, and Netflix was grateful for their time, but they're severing ties now while they can.
Is that actually what happened, or what you or it's, your conjecture?
They released a very positive statement about Daredevil and how they are looking forward to seeing it, Daredevil and other characters in future projects of Marvel, but they did not say they would be a part of that. So, yes, I think it was an amicable split.
So, the stories that we have gone on to enjoy, like Daredevil, with those actors and all that, is over, and then whatever we get in future with those characters is something totally different?
Could be the same. It could still be the same characters, too.
But same show? Just on a different network kind of thing?
Maybe not the same show directly, but maybe like a show where they're all like defenders together, but better.
Different. But not with the same actors?
Yes, it would be the same.
Oh.
So, I mean, I would assume that they're going to keep things the same. It's just...
How would that make sense, though? That doesn't make sense to me.
Well, that's for Journey into Comics speaking. Is a different thing. The only reason I brought that up is if Jessica Jones does, in fact, get canceled, that leaves David Tennant with a big, wide-open time to fill on
his schedule. I was
wondering
why the hell we were talking about on Gallifreyan.
I was trying to get you guys there, yeah. So, with
just
David...
the long way around.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great Day of the Doctor reference. Get there the long way around. So... it would just be cool to see David Tennant return to Doctor Who maybe one more, two more times before his time is done.
Oh my God, yes.
I mean, absolutely.
Duh.
It makes a lot of sense. I would love to see him alongside Jodie.
Yeah.
I mean, man, that'd be interesting. Just
I'd love to see Christopher Eccleston alongside Jodie.
I don't think it's going to happen.
No, it would never
maybe.
Happen. But
who knows?
As long as we're like wanting to see things, I'm going to go for it.
Speaking of soured doctors who are upset with Tom Baker, obviously. But Tom Baker has some, there's an interesting little thing. During Tom Baker's time as the doctor, he actually wrote a script. That script was lost and not discovered unintentionally and not discovered until 2006. Where it had accidentally been donated by one of the show's producers a long, long time ago, and it was in the British Film Institute just sitting.
No shit.
So Tom Baker got his script back out and turned it into a book. Doctor Who, Scratch Man, What Are You Afraid Of? The Doctor, Harry, and Sarah Jane Smith arrive at a remote Scottish island when their holiday is cut short by the appearance of strange creatures, hideous scarecrows preying on the local population. The islanders are living in fear, and the doctor vows to save them all, but it doesn't go to plan. The time travelers have fallen into a trap, and the Scratch Man is coming for them. Ooh. With the fate of the universe hanging in the balance, the doctor must battle an ancient force from another dimension, one who claims to be the devil. Scratch Man wants to know what the doctor is most afraid of, and the doctor's worst nightmares are coming out to play.
Freaky.
Hmm.
Sounds like a cool book.
Yeah, I kind of want to get it just for the fact that it's like a Tom Baker. He wrote it in the era of him being the doctor. Like,
yeah, that would be cool to read.
Could definitely be a great read.
I miss
for
reading
sure.
books. I have so little time to read anymore. But with all the things that I end up having to do and children and all these things.
You know, last episode, Sarah brought us a quiz. And I couldn't just go off on my high horse and not try to also find an interesting quiz for us to do. So, of course, I went to BBC One, where they actually have the ultimate Doctor Who fan quiz parts 1 and 2. Part 1 is Modern Who. Part 2 is Classic Who. Which one would you guys like to do?
Modern, probably, right?
Yeah, I don't care.
Okay.
I don't think I've seen enough of Classic Who to be any good at that.
Okay,
fair point. Other than John Pertwee and Peter Troughton's.
Patrick Troughton.
It's
all right.
It's late.
It's okay. Really late. Yeah, we're doing all right for it being... We're almost out of here on the episode, so...
Okay.
Let's do this Modern Who quiz trivia. I'll chime in with guesses and thoughts, too, as well here. So, for these are going to be not necessarily easy. They're multiple choice, 3 possible answers each. So here we go. What is Chen 7? A level 5 planet like Earth, a deadly plague, or a habitable asteroid?
I'm going to go with a habitable asteroid.
Okay, that's what V thinks. Sarah, do you have a thought?
Either that or it was the first one.
Chen 7?
Correct. Do you want a the picture clue? Because everything has a clue alongside of it.
It's a picture clue.
Here's the picture clue. This is what you're going to get. It's the doctor looking like this, trying to figure out a clue in itself. Chen 7.
Okay, so probably the first one, right?
Okay, so Chen 7 could be a level 5 planet like Earth, a deadly plague, or a habitable asteroid.
Ooh, why? I can't remember this.
I think this is from the Magpie episode with the TVs.
Hmm. All right. So based on his outfit alone, I'm going to go with A.
Okay. V wants A. Sarah?
We'll go with V's answer.
Okay, we'll try that. You got it wrong.
Was it the last one?
Chen 7 is a deadly plague that affects two-hearted beings.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Okay, this one I know for sure.
I'm not going to be very good at this quiz tonight.
You will. You'll be great.
I'm quite tired.
Get some pep in your step. Here we go. This one's easier. What were the last words the 10th Doctor said in the End of Time Part 2 before he regenerated? And what episode did he repeat those words in? Was it A, I don't want to go, from The Day of the Doctor? B, why do I have to go, The Stolen Earth? Or C, I don't want to go, The Stolen Earth?
I don't want to go.
Okay. Day of the Doctor or The Stolen Earth?
The last one you read. I don't know.
The answer is I don't want to go, The Day of the Doctor. The Day of the Doctor was the two-part with Matt Smith and him. Yeah. It's his last episode. Yeah. So he, again, to keep with continuity, very clever here, repeats, I don't want to go, so they never had to change what the 10th Doctor's final words were. It was always, I don't want to go.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Moving on to the next question. What planet are the Slitheen from? Rixocorical Phalopatorius, Roxocorical Phalopatorius, Raxocorical Phalopatorius.
What?
Which planet are the Slitheen from? Rixocorical Phalopatorius, Roxocorical Phalopatorius.
The last one.
Raxocorical Phalopatorius.
The last one.
Absolutely, the Raxocorical Phalopatorius. What was the name Henry Van Satten gave to his prize-captured alien? The episode was Dalek.
The Metaltron.
You got it right. Henry Van Staten named his prize-captured alien Metaltron. Next, what is the name of the most invaded planet in the galaxy? This was from The Stolen Earth. Tivoli, Uxorarius, or Sontar?
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't be Sontar.
Correct. It's not Sontar. We know that.
Nobody's invaded Sontar.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
It's between these two, and I think it's the T one because
I do too.
The U one is a word I can't even pronounce. So it's like, how the hell would they put that on TV? Hey, we got it right. The most invaded planet in the galaxy is Tivoli.
They put Raxacoracophalopatorius on TV.
Yeah, Nate.
Yeah. I don't know. Which Shakespeare play are the Doctor and Martha watching in the Shakespeare Code? Macbeth, Twelfth Night, or Love's Labour's Lost?
Love, I think it's Love's Labour's Lost.
V, do you confer?
Maybe.
I think so as well. You got it right. The Doctor and Martha are playing Love's watching the play Love's Labour's Lost in the Shakespeare Code. Next question. In the Time of Angels, it's an 11th Doctor story. The Doctor mentions he is on which famous author's bowling team? Jane Austen, Virginia Woolf, or Geoffrey Chaucer?
Oh.
It wouldn't be Virginia Woolf.
That's actually what I think it is.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't think it's Jane Austen, and I don't know the third person. Geoffrey Chaucer.
I don't remember.
Actually, I'm going to go with Chaucer.
You're going with Chaucer?
Yeah.
Which one should I pick then?
Pick whatever you want.
No, V, final answer, because it's either Virginia Woolf or Geoffrey Chaucer. We both had one, so you got to be the final vote. Deciding factor. We're doing this as a team. Come on, we're Gallifreyio.
Okay. What were my options?
Jane Austen. Oh. We're not. Jane Austen is, we're not talking about her. Virginia Woolf or Geoffrey Chaucer?
Who he was on a bowling team with?
Correct.
I'm going to go with Chaucer.
You got it wrong. Time of the Angels. Damn. Doctor mentions that he's on Virginia Woolf's bowling team. I thought I knew that.
That's so goofy.
Okay. In Forest of the Dead, the Doctor saves River, but only after she has sacrificed herself to save everyone else who is trapped in the library hard drive. What is River's absolute final words before her sacrifice? Spoilers. You watch us run, or goodbye, sweetie.
Spoilers.
Spoilers?
I think so.
Okay. You got it right. Spoilers. Liven up a bit, girls. We're getting through this thing. We got moving and grooving. Which fruit does the 10th Doctor dislike, and in which episode does he tell us this? Oranges, Doomsday. Pears, Human Nature. Bananas, the Santarin stratagem.
Pears, maybe? I don't know.
Pears. I think it's pears and pears.
Mm-hmm.
Pears. Good call. The picture definitely is from Human Nature. It's kind of a giveaway for me.
Mm.
When was the episode Father's Day set? 1985, 1987, or 1999?
87.
You got it right. Father's Day was set in 1987. We're a third of the way through the quiz, guys. What was the name of the episode in which the 10th Doctor got to say something he had always wanted to say? Allons-y, Alonzo.
Oh, I loved that.
Voyage of the Damned, The Stolen Earth, or Planet of the Dead? Allons-y, Alonzo. I've always wanted to say that.
Oh, man, why can't I remember?
It's the Kylie Minogue episode.
I know, why can't I remember? I'm not good with the titles.
It's not Planet of the Dead, because Planet of the Dead was in...
So it's Voyage of the Damned, it's that one.
Yeah.
That's what I think it is, yeah, too.
You got it right. The 10th Doctor finally got to say Allons-y, Alonzo. Allons-y, Alonzo.
Yeah, because it's like the cruise ship thing.
Yeah, the Titanic.
I mean, yeah, the Titanic.
The floating Titanic, the robotic replica. Titanic. According to the Doctor, what is the most important thing you need to get across the universe? Warp drive? Wormhole refractor or a hand to hold?
Wormhole refractor.
I actually think it's a hand to hold.
Yeah.
That seems like a doctor. That seems like a doctory thing.
What season is it?
It shows that it's 9. I don't think he would have said warp drive or wormhole refractor being important.
Either.
That's okay. Weird. You got it right. According to the Doctor, the most important thing is a hand to hold.
Mm-hmm.
As we truck on along here, finish the quote from New Earth. Oh, baby, I'm beating out a...
Samba.
Samba. You got it right. That was Cassandra.
I didn't even need to look to know that one.
And her name was Cassandra.
Complete the Doctor's line in 2008 episode Midnight. Rose Tyler, Martha Jones, Donna Noble, blank. Jenny?
TARDIS.
Captain Jack or TARDIS. You got it right. The quote for Midnight is Rose Tyler, Martha Jones, Donna Noble, TARDIS.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving along here, during Tobias Zed's final moments in the Satan pit, the beast says through him, "I shall never die. The thought of me is forever in the bleeding hearts of men." What are the three things that he listed? Vanity, obsession, lust, obsession, security, and love, time, space, and vanity. A is vanity, obsession, lust. B is obsession.
It would either be A or C.
C is time, space, vanity. B is obsession, security, love. And A is vanity, obsession, and lust.
I already gave you my answers.
Well, A or B? A or C. Okay, A or C. Sarah, what do you think?
I'm going with A.
A, final answer. Locking it in. Vanity, obsession, lust was the correct answer. So far, we're 13 of 30 out of the 15 possible questions. We only missed two. Who did the doctor call a nice man after his fight with the Sycorax in the Christmas Invasion? Leonardo DiCaprio, Harry Potter, or Arthur Dent? Who did the doctor call a nice man after his fight with the Sycorax? That's the 10th Doctor's first episode in the Christmas Invasion.
Well, I don't remember the first two being called out.
No, it was
so I'm gonna say
definitely
C.
Arthur Dent because the Satsuma.
Yeah.
Lovely
you
man,
say
Arthur
Dent.
Dent.
All yeah. I can think about is Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's the... Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, okay. Up next, what were Peter Capaldi's first words in Doctor Who? Oh. No, sir, all 13. Kidneys or modern art?
Oh. Kidneys. I don't remember. That's a guess.
I think it's kidneys too, doesn't he? Go, oh, new kidneys. I don't know, V?
It's somewhere in there.
I don't know what.
Oh, I just didn't know if you had a guess.
No, I'm saying, what is it?
Oh, I don't. I was trying to say what we wanted to guess. I'll say it's kidneys. You got it wrong. Peter Capaldi's first words in Doctor Who were modern art because Peter Capaldi's first words were not as the Doctor. Fires of Pompeii.
Is that what they're doing? Trick question.
Trickery. Rude. They don't super say rude. That, but that is definitely what they're doing. I mean, that's just the most sensible thing.
Oh, yeah. Look at the question, the way the question's phrased. That's that
first words in Doctor Who, not mean. As Doctor Who. Okay. In The Caretaker, what gadget does the Doctor use to help fight against Sox Fox Blitzer? Invisibility ring, an invisibility watch, or an invisibility coat?
Coat?
Nah, that's the obvious one. I mean, just my thought. I don't know. Lucky for us, this one's not timed like the last one. Can sit and delegate. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna say an invisibility watch.
Sure, why not?
Hey, we got it right. The Caretaker in The Doctor.
I don't remember that.
In The Caretaker, the Doctor uses an invisibility watch to fight against Sokovox Blitzer. Yeah, I don't remember that. I don't think we've rewatched that one with V yet, is why.
Oh.
So it's a little bit not fresh in our minds. What does Idris tell Rory at the end of The Doctor's Wife? I think that's the episode where the TARDIS becomes a person. Does she say the only water in the forest is the river? I don't know what that word says.
Petrichor.
Petrichor. Or the little boxes will make you angry.
I don't know.
It's one or two. I feel like it's two.
I was going to say I feel like it's one because I feel like it's the clue for him to name River.
I thought that quote was from somewhere else.
I have no idea.
But I can't.
I don't remember.
I can't remember now. It's been a while.
You want me to do Petrichor or the only water in the forest is the river?
That one.
The first one?
Yeah, that's fine. Do what you do.
You got it right. At the end of The Doctor's Wife, Idris tells Rory that the only water in the forest is the river. Mm-hmm. Okay. What should you always take to a party? An apple, a banana, a pear?
A banana.
Bananas are good. You got it right. Always take a banana to a party. How long was the doctor trapped in the confession dial? That is one tiny spoiler, but you don't know what that means. Sarah, do you remember? Was it 3.5 billion, 4.5, or 4 billion years?
I don't remember.
I think it was 4 billion, my guess. What do you say?
I don't remember at all.
Okay. We got it wrong. He was trapped in the confession dial for 4.5 billion years. What's the name of the novel Amy wrote in which the main character was called Katie? That would be at the Death of the Ponds, the Angels Take Manhattan story. Was it Sunshine Falls, Summer Falls, or Summer Stream?
I don't remember. I'm going to say Summer Falls.
Me too.
You got it right. The name of the novel that Amy wrote was Summer Falls.
Hmm.
Nice. Good job, guys. All right. What was Danny Pink's birth name? I know this. It's Rupert, which is C. Theodore, George, or Rupert. It's definitely Rupert. Rupert Danny Pink.
I wish it would have been wrong because of how sure you were.
No, I was certain on that one. That one's one that stuck out because it's a weird one. You don't hear a lot of Ruperts.
Okay.
Just before he regenerated in the time of the Doctor, the 11th Doctor said what? I'll always remember when the Doctor was me. I'll never forget when the Doctor was me, or I don't want to go.
Science.
A. I'll always remember when the Doctor was me is correct. You got it right. Just before he regenerated, he said, I'll always remember when the Doctor was me. In the episode, Vincent and the Doctor, Van Gogh, the Doctor, and Amy Pond have to face which alien? The Krillinate, the Crinoids, or the Crayphaeus?
No idea.
Krillinate, the Crinoids,
I remember the episode, Crayphaeus. I just can't think of it.
Yeah. Not sure either.
It's A or C. I don't know.
I think C. Got it right. In the episode, that was a total guess. Vincent Van Gogh and the Doctor have to face the Crayphaeus.
Okay, now that you say it like that, it rings a bell.
At what age did Amy Pond die? 82, 85, or 87?
Mean question. Who remembers that?
Well, that's the thing.
82?
Oh, yeah.
82, guess?
I don't know. I'm not good
no
with
idea.
Numbers.
You want me to do 82?
I don't know.
Sure, 82. Got it wrong. Amy Pond died when she was 87.
Mm.
Okay, we're almost done here as we get through. What's the name of the song the 10th Doctor plays in the TARDIS in Tooth and Claw? We Will Rock You, Hit Me With Your Rhythm Stick, or Toxic?
Is that the one where he plays Toxic?
No, Toxic is the one with Cassandra, yeah, the party. So I think it's Hit Me With Your Rhythm Stick, because I don't think We Will Rock You has ever been in Doctor Who. Hey, we got it right. Process of elimination. How long is a night on Deryllium? 22 years, 23 years, or 24 years?
22.
Oh, shit. I clicked 23. It was 24, and you said 22. So we had no chance. It
matters not at all.
It matters not at all.
Oh, well.
Okay, we've only got two questions left here. Let's see what our final score is going to be. What school does Rose Tyler go to? Jericho Street Junior School, Powell High School, or Coal Hill School?
I don't know.
No school. She flies around in the TARDIS.
Where did she go to school? Where did... Yeah, what school did Rose go to? Junior, Jericho.
Powell High School.
Okay, Powell High School, V?
What are the answers?
Jericho Street Junior School, Powell High School, Coal Hill School.
I'm going with Coal Hill School.
Coal Hill School. I'll take...
Why don't you take A so one of us is right?
I got it right, A. I guess I had to be the right one. Last question. In Dark Water, which novel does Clara retrieve one of the TARDIS keys from? The Time Traveler's Wife, The Hitchhiker Guide to the Galaxy, or The Time Machine?
Wasn't it The Time Machine? I don't remember.
I don't know.
Because we just watched The Time Machine and hated it and turned it off, remember?
Yes. Yes, I do. Oh. I don't know.
In Dark Water, which novel did Clara retrieve one of the TARDIS keys from? The Time Traveler's Wife, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, or The Time Machine?
Man, I don't remember. Why don't I remember these?
Dark Water was the episode where all the Cybermen are taking over the dead.
Yeah.
We just recently watched that, didn't we? Like, not that long ago, right?
Yeah, because you were just catching
up. The Brigadier
up.
Was at the end, right? Yeah. He was like the last Cyberman to take off mm-hmm. and blow up or whatever. Mm-hmm.
We actually reviewed that on this season.
Yeah.
Gallif Radio.
Yeah, I still have no idea what the answer to this question is. What?
It was A. Yeah. You got it right. In Dark Water, Clara retrieved one of the TARDIS keys from the time traveler's wife.
Oh, yeah.
The end results show we got 24 out of 30. We only missed 6.
Not bad. Not bad watched any of those seasons in a while, other mm-hmm. than the Peter.
They've also have they also have a classic. Who, if you guys want, we could also save it. It's fine.
Save it for next time. It,
yeah. All right. Well, I think we want to get out of here.
Yeah, I think that'll do it. All right. I think we said what we needed to say tonight, don't you?
Yeah,
sorry that we had to rag on it a little bit.
Yeah, sorry, fans.
We were just feeling a little let down, and this was our platform to talk about it.
We're impassioned about Doctor Who, and this is why we have a podcast about it, because we want to talk about it when it's great. We want to talk about it if it's bad. You know, we have that right as fans, I think.
I guess.
As always, folks, you guys can check out Gallif Radio every other Friday on the Journey Into Comics Network at journeyintocomics.com. You can also get us on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher Radio, Google Play Music, or Spotify. Just search Journey Into Comics Network. You can get all the different shows by subscribing, whether it's Journey Into Comics, Poor Entertainment, Poor News, Adulting Ain't Easy, Foodies Watching Movies, Podcastrophy, Gallif Radio, Kids for Sale, The Voice of Survival, Brews with Dudes, Best of the Week on Sunday. We got new shows coming in January. Go to our Patreon at patreon.com/journeyintocomics. Give us a buck for early access and exclusive content, meaning as soon as our episodes are edited and ready to go up, they get to your ears first, folks. I think that's going to do it for Gallif Radio. Girls, do you have anything else you want to say?
Nope, I'm good.
Okay. Sarah?
No, I have said my piece.
All right. Well, for this week's episode of Gallif Radio, I'm Nate.
I'm Veronica.
Sarah.
And we'll see you guys somewhere in time and space. Later.